Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. We've been telling you about the racial history behind chicken processing plants in the American South and how they exploit the most vulnerable workers. We also talked about recent crimes against Latinos and Latinas and another layer of fear that is rippling throughout the community. All right, let's get back to the story. Wait, so are you just starting the new year? How many days have you been to school?
I just started.
This is 8-year-old Miko. Miko has a big smile on his face. He's kind of tipping back and forth, excited in his red school uniform. Then Susana, Miko's mom, offers to take me inside her home. By the way, they asked us to change their names to protect them because of their immigration status. Susana is an indigenous woman from Guatemala. She's lived in Mississippi for several years now. This is my first time meeting her. We just walked in your front door, and the first thing you see is a rug leading up to an altar. There's Jesus Christ, and he's wrapped in traditional Guatemalan rebozo, a shawl. And below it, there's flowers, plastic flowers, and there's candles. And it's quite beautiful.
Yo me refugié en Dios cuando agarraron a mi esposo y pues después de la redada yo le pedí a la iglesia que me dieran la oportunidad de tenerla en mi casa. Y pues me la dieron y yo le pedí mucho a Dios a que mi esposo regresara.
After ICE picked up Susana's husband during the raids in the poultry plants, he was deported to Guatemala. She says she then had no one else to turn to except God. She asked if the local church would allow her to take the statue of Jesus Christ, basically an altar, so that she could pray for her husband's return.
Pues a veces en los pasillos lloraba por mi familia. Yeah. Porque mis hijos sufrían.
You would cry while you were working inside the chicken plant with a mask on.
Mm-hmm. Sí.
How would you walk out the door, open that door, get in your car, and drive to the chicken plant knowing that there was COVID everywhere?
Pues sentía mucho miedo. Mucho miedo, pero a la vez la desesperación de ¿cómo se llama? De luchar por mi familia. Tenía que hacerlo.
The desperation to fight for her family kept Susana going. She says she would ask God to please protect her from the virus. Her little boy, Miko, has asthma, and she was terrified of passing COVID to him. Susana was also constantly worried that at any moment there could be another ICE raid. And right then, as we're talking, the door opens, and Susana's husband, Adan, walks through.
Hola.
Hola, buenas tardes.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien, bien.
Adan has just gotten out of work. Now he has a job in construction.
Pues por ahora, simplemente trabajo yo de remodelación de casas.
He helps remodel houses. Now, as he's settling in after a long day at work, being hugged on and kissed by his kids, I ask him if he feels like Mississippi is his home.
Sí, porque en primer lugar, pues aquí hay... Hay muchas oportunidades para todos nosotros, para nuestros hijos. Y luego que los niños ya nacieron aquí o son nacidos de aquí, prácticamente, y ahí son de aquí.
Adan says yes, this is his home, because there's a lot of opportunity for his family here, and because his children were born in Mississippi.
When you say that this country offers you so many opportunities, there's a part of me that just thinks that this country has had the opportunity to detain you, arrest you, jail you, deport you multiple times. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like opportunity. That sounds like a country that doesn't want you. So I'm trying to understand that.
Sí, porque una parte, pues, no está bien lo que el gobierno estaba haciendo, pues, o está haciendo, no sé cómo está ahorita. Simplemente estamos trabajando cuando nos agarraron ese día, cuando fue de la redada. Estábamos trabajando honestamente, no estábamos haciendo nada malo, ni robando a nadie, ¿verdad?
Adan says what happened the day of the raids was not okay. We were just there working. He also says that back in Guatemala, there are a lot of problems and that he's better off here in the United States. Since Adán has returned home, Mico and his little sister have been much happier and healthier.
So how is your heart now? Like if it had disasters and burning when your dad was gone?
Feels like normal, better. Feels like it's fresh.
When Mico talks about his heart, his mom and dad look at him from afar with this, like, extraordinary love in their eyes. He and his little sister have gone through so much over the last few years, and they constantly live with the cloud of deportation still hanging over their family. I'm getting ready to leave Mississippi, but I really want to meet Elena's daughters. I know that one of Elena's daughters is 13 years old and that the other one is 15. Both of them are U.S. citizens. So I'm back at Elena's house now, and she offers to take me inside. Now, I'm fully vaccinated, so I put on my mask and I stand at the door. I can feel the cold air conditioning from inside hitting my sweaty face.
Wow, óyeme, Elena, tu casa está preciosa. Wow, she has a beautiful house. Oh my God, there's like a room with like Mexican blue on the wall. She's got a fireplace. She's got a huge sofa. You know, it's coming together.
And as I look around, her two daughters come out from their rooms and they put on their masks.
What's up?
Hey.
The both of you are daughters?
Yes.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Like, your mom is not leaving Mississippi, so you're staying. So what's your big dream?
My dream is to be a doctor.
Okay. Why do you want to become a doctor?
Because, like, it'll make my mom happy if I buy her a house, and then she don't have to work anymore.
And what's your big dream?
Become a criminal investigator.
Criminal investigator? You know, there are a lot of unsolved crimes around here. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to help?
Yeah.
So before I leave, is there anything you want to tell me about what it's been like to see your mom go through the last 2 years since the raid?
Ever since she found a work to painting, she felt more, like, happy because it's like when she was working at Chick-a-Pen, she said, oh, it's not enough money. So basically, I think she's happy.
In many ways, Elena is happy because she made her dream come true. She didn't want to work at the pollera, at the chicken plant anymore. And she's not. Now she's painting things like houses, hotels, clinics, and schools.
Even though Mississippi has treated you and your family in a challenging way, you really love this place. You love this community and you love this house. You love this yard. You love this forest and these trees.
La verdad, sí. La verdad, sí siento muy, muy bonito, muy tranquila. Yo digo que ahora, por ahora, estamos bien porque, pues, imagínate, tenemos un techo donde vivir más, lo más importante. Y no sé. Lo quiero mucho aquí en Flores.
Elena says she feels at peace in this moment because she has a roof over her head, and that is the most important thing. She says she loves being here in Forest, Mississippi. She finally has a sense of security, even if it's just for this moment right now. As I say goodbye to Elena, her family, and everyone I met in Mississippi, I'm thinking so much about how they are now part of the future of Mississippi. They're organizing, they're looking out for one another, they're dreaming big and doing the best they can for their families. And even though the state historically hasn't treated them well, and companies continue to exploit the most vulnerable, the people here are pushing through, demanding better and surviving. I think about Elena's two teenage daughters, about Miko, about Yesenia's kids. And I think about how one day these kids are going to determine who's going to lead this country and who's going to lead this state, because their roots are solidly right here in Mississippi. And those roots, they're going to continue to grow. They're going to continue to get stronger. And the folks here, they'll continue to rise. The week that our reporting on Mississippi was going to drop, the Department of Homeland Security issued an unprecedented memo on October 12th. The memo calls on ICE to end mass worksite raids entirely and to create new policies that encourage all workers, even those who are undocumented, to report labor violations without the fear of deportation. That's it for today. This episode was edited by Mitra Bonshahi. Latino USA is produced by Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Patricia Zulbarán, Ginny Montalvo, Alejandra Salazar, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. We're edited by Andrea López Cruzado and Marta Martínez. Our editorial director is Julio Ricardo Varela. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso, with help this week from Gabriela Baez and JJ Carubin. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Maria Esquinca. Fact-checking for this episode by Ben Kalin. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, I'll see you on all of our social media. Ahí los veo. Hasta la próxima. Chao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first. The Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.